are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
From the studios of Radio Sai at Prashanti Nilayam, I am Chandu Vijay and this is Love to Love. And today we have a talk by Dr. Vinit Basotia, an alumnus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, whom Bhagwan used to very fondly refer to as Assam Boy. Sri Vinit joined Bhagwan's Brindavan College in 1994 for his BCom course and went on to do his MBA and later got his PhD in Corporate Governance. He was an integral part of the sports and cultural meet of the Sri Sathya Sai educational institutions and was also blessed to have accompanied Bhagwan to Kodaikanal twice, in 1998 and later in 2003. He is currently the Global Director of Marketing and Commercial Analytics at GE Healthcare. In this very personal talk, he narrates some beautiful instances of Bhagwan's motherly love for his students. This talk was delivered in Sai Ramesh Hall in Brindavan Ashram as a part of the Samarpan program on the 21st of May 2017. Interspersed and after the talk, we have some lovely bhajans from the album series Bhavanjali, produced by the Sri Sathya Sai Media Division here in Prashanti Nilayam. Stay tuned, dear listeners. At 3:30 p.m., we have the live Telugu segment Sri Sathya Sai Divya Sandesha Jhari. And with that, over to Sri Vinit Basotia.
My loving pranams at Bhagwan's lotus feet, Sai Ram, and welcome to everyone on this auspicious day. I'm like totally touched because the bhajans were so soulful, and then Krishnamurti's introduction was so graceful that as such, standing here and talking to everyone is a moment of reflection for me. But these incidents this evening, I think, is definitely coming together and making it more and more emotional for me. If I just look back, 23 years back, probably in this very hall, was when I first had Bhagwan's darshan. And it almost feels like the time has gone so fast, and at every moment, at every juncture, there is this divine hand, this divine kind of a power which is guiding every moment, every big event of my life, And today when I stand here and I look back at this 23 years, it feels like there is so much to say, whether it is Swami as someone who is creating an incident, a coincident, an occasion, or he directly talking to you, he directly touching you, he directly affecting the journey of your life. It is a huge plethora of incidents which makes it, in fact, a little difficult to really come up with what really to share immediately. So I was just reflecting during the bhajans and I thought, let me go back in time a bit and come up with some nuggets of my story. It's a simple story. But I feel that whatever I am today or wherever I stand is absolutely because I have not put any effort, but a divine hand has carried me forward through these years. And Krishnamurti just talked about when I came here first time, what is it that, got me to Bhagwan? What is it that made me, touched by the divine hand? And I'm just reflecting back, it's kind of strange in our lives that some things we want to do and we want to make it happen, and some things are destined to happen. Now, what is destined to happen doesn't matter even if our human mind and the intellect and our own our own plans and our own decisions, how much ever we pull ourselves away, what is destined to happen, I think will happen. And honestly, I feel that Bhagwan coming in my life is something which was definitely destined to happen, because, I was sharing this with Krishnamurti a few days back as well, and let me put this thought forward. I come from a town in Assam where at the point of time when I actually came and applied to study in Swami's college, I didn't have anyone other than one individual in my school who had known about this, about this institution. There was some inclination in me which got me up to Puttaparthi to write the entrance exam. It was, I consider myself really blessed that our parents make a lot of sacrifices to make us reach some state in our life. And my parents, with their limited means at that point of time, really took the courage to send me out. But it was not possible for them to even accompany me. So, alone from Assam, 3.5 days in train, I had come down to Puttaparthi. The food, the weather, the heat, and everything like really got onto me. And, while I really wanted to get into Swami's college, I had not got acquainted to the system. I had not got acquainted to the place that much. Obviously with a little bit of a mind this way and that way, I was about to write the entrance exam. Today when I look back at it, it can be nothing but a coincidence, because on the day of the entrance exam, I had very high fever, more than, 102 degrees. To the extent that I remember, like, I can almost feel it today. When I went up to write the entrance written exam, I was like in a state of a lot of giddiness and exhaustion, fever and pain. 15 minutes down, when you're sitting and writing the exam, I gave it up. And until you clear a written exam, you can't get in, but I gave it up. So I got up and I was feeling very pukish and vomiting, and I went up to the individual who was invigilating, and I told him, it's not, I can't do it because I'm absolutely exhausted, and here are the papers, I think I won't make it. And that gentleman, very kind person, he gave me an idea. He said, hey, listen, but Swami does a lot of miracles. At least you have the papers. Why don't you just tick and cross, and then give it? You never know what will happen. But I didn't have energy for that also. I walked out of the hall, and in Puttaparthi, from the school building till the Sai Kulwant Hall, the Sai Kulwant Hall wasn't there, but the Ganesha Gate, I walked up to the Ganesha Gate. I sat in front of the Ganesha Gate because I didn't feel I had the energy to walk up to the shed where we were staying. And then I feel destiny, which has to make something happen, grasped me, like almost got hold of me. For 10 minutes, I felt I was sweating like crazy there, sitting there. And what happened after that, I today feel I can't imagine that I actually did it. After 10-15 minutes sitting in front of the Ganesha statue, I stood up and I ran back to the school. And I don't know what force, what power gripped me, but it was as if like something is like holding me and making me run. And I ran back to the school building, and I went back to the same place where the invigilator was, and he saw me there like sweating and exhausted, and he said, hey, you have come back, what happened? And I said, give me back the papers, I'll take your idea and I'll tick and cross. And he got the English paper and the quant paper or whatever it was then, and he got it back. And he gave it to me, and almost standing in front of him, I started ticking and crossing and saying, hope Swami, bless me, and I started doing that. And I got selected for that BCom course, and my journey in Swami's institute began. But it wasn't that, even after that, I the part of me which was, if it's really happening, is this what I want to do? The doubts of the human mind did not get over with that. It kept riding in my mind for a while. So I actually joined the hostel 10 days later when the session had started. And then I remember that for, you know, it is a very strict hostel out here in Vrindavan, and many people who have studied here would agree that very less people will get allowed if you came 10 days late. But I would say blessed and honored, and for some reason, because of probably traveling a long distance or something, I got admission here. And you know, today when I stand and I think of this, I still feel that moment so alive in my mind. I feel that, oh God, that was probably the starting point of this terrific, blessed journey, which today is the part and parcel and everything which happens in my life, you know. And you know, those few incidents which are destined, they just happen. And after that, we start having experiences of different kinds. And I know that everyone's story is a unique story, and everyone has experienced something which is really the anchor of your life, which connects you back to our beloved Lord. I will talk in the next few minutes about some of the anchors which I have experienced in my life. They really connect me back to our beloved Lord. When I stand and talk these few incidents, I feel a certain kind of a joy within me. I feel that, you know, just as many of you, I have been touched with all those subtleties, all those nuances, all those aspects, sometimes Swami as a friend, sometimes as the teacher, you know, teaching you, sometimes as the father guiding you, and sometimes as the beloved mother caring for you. As I journey back in my mind, so many of those thoughts, they come up, and they grip me. But one thing, everyone in their life, I think they need that one powerful push, or that one story which really awakens them and makes them feel that, oh, I am in front of this omnipresent, omniscient, and the omnipotent God, right? And if I have to think, what was that story which really gave me the blow, you know, the feeling that here is the omnipotence of the Lord. I recollect sitting for darshan in Prashanti Nilayam, must be one of the festival times when Vrindavan boys used to go there. And when Swami used to come for darshan, there was so much going on. You know, there are people wanting to give a letter, and somebody walking behind him, and Swami calling for clothes and saris and everything. In all that which was going on, there was one evening where he just saw me and asked me to come up. And he didn't say anything. He waved his hand and he filled my hand with vibhuti. And people who have had this experience, I bet even today, if you recollect when you first received vibhuti from Swami, your hands will itch because you will feel it even today. And the feeling of my hand getting filled with vibhuti, and then he put some vibhuti on my throat, and he said, "Father ko do, send it to your father." And then he didn't say anything else. I had that thought that, oh, I have to send the vibhuti to my father. So in whatever limited possibilities we had, there were very few places you could even go and make a phone call. And there were no mobile phones in those years. All my attempt, we had strict protocols, so it wasn't easy for Vrindavan boys staying in old hostel to go and make a call anywhere. There used to be some PCO booth inside the ashram, towards the end. And, you know, we used to go in some batches and try to make a call, but, you know, you could get unlucky and you would not even get a chance. So I tried a few times. I think by the time I could actually communicate back home, a few days had passed away. And then when I could communicate back home, what I realized is that my father is today sitting here, probably the first time my parents are actually hearing me speak some of these things as well. What I realized is that my father had had an accident in those few days where a motorbike had hit him and he had had head injuries, very severe head injuries. My mother was alone and she was along with him and he was in his, like for many hours, like there wasn't a certainty whether when is he coming out of the coma, what is happening, does he have his memory exactly intact, and she was going through all that pain and the pressure and the anxiety. And imagine the, I mean today I think parents call their kids every 2 hours, but it wasn't the liberty of those days. Imagine the joy which my mother would have felt when I told her that, hey, Swami is worried about Papa, and you know, he has sent Vibhuti. I think that's when all her pains eased out, and needless to say that you know, my father is hale and hearty, and you know, he came out of that. But that incident really hit me like a blow. I knew that, you know, we may see Swami playing around and joking around and, you know, pulling somebody's leg and making someone speak the thrice sessions in out here right behind, where like the leelas of Swami were stupendous. What all we got to see, you know, he would, it was, some days would be like, I remember a thrice session where I can bet that Swami would have laughed and laughed and laughed out of a 1.5 hour session at least 90% of the time. He would just be pulling people's leg and he would be laughing and joking, and it was like having a friend amidst us. But you can't get carried away with just that friendliness of the God, because there is a powerful, omnipotent, a very, very strong reality behind that friendliness, which we all get hit sometimes. And you know, and those are the incidents which will never leave us, because you know, we cherish it, we keep it. So I wanted to share this one incident, and then you know, kind of going through the journey. There are times when, and I was just talking about Swami laughing and being playful with the students and with everyone. You know, he used to be, I mean, many memories in my mind are Swami walking around this hall and pulling someone's leg, right from, you know, very, very witty questions to things like, where did you come from? Did you get married? What happened? And it was like, and when he comes in front of you, Krishnamurti alluded that, and he speaks to you, or even if he doesn't speak to you, if he's just in front of you, all your senses get alerted. You would absorb everything. And Swami's pride in his students was so great, and I'll come back to some of that, but let me probably pick up one incident from my personal life and my story, where he proved to be a friend which no one else can be. And it's a little bit of a funny thing. I was doing my MBA, and at some point of time I started gaining a lot of weight. I don't look like that now, but I, you know, was definitely one of the few lazy people. I won't be focusing too much on the jogging and the yogas, but I started gaining weight. So I thought, hey, the best way to probably lose weight is that let me start dieting, and let me start having just one chapati in the dinner time, and no rice, and I would probably start losing weight, and then I'll start looking trim and smart. So I started doing that practice for a week, 2 weeks, and you know, once you start really taking something like this seriously and you start imbibing it, you almost start expecting in your heart that somebody will come and give you a compliment. That somebody will come and say, ah, you know, you're looking so thin. And I would very, you know, very greedily look at my friend, that who would be that friend who would start giving me the compliment. And, you know, I really felt that I had very close friends in my room, and, you know, people really liked me. And somebody start telling me this, that, hey, you're looking very thin nowadays. I continued my dieting, but I did not get any compliment. You know, I was thinking I'm doing it right, but I could never get any compliment. And one evening in that little bit of a melancholy mood, I was sitting in darshan in Prashanti Nilayam and thinking over some of my lost thoughts. And then Swami would finish interviews and he'll walk out and he'll start, the picture is so clear. There would be a conversation which will generally start with Bhagya sir. He would be in one corner. And then there were a few more teachers, and then he starts slowly talking to the students. And that day he suddenly called me. He said, "Assam boy, come here." So I went in front of him, and obviously all other thoughts go off, you know, when Swami is calling and you're like, what is he going to tell today, or you know, what is going to happen. But then he said, "Aajkal khana nahi khate, itna dubla ho gaya, dinner mein kya khata hai, kya kha rahe ho?" And I was like, here is the friend, he has seen it. Nobody else has complimented me, but Swami is telling me that I know you are dieting. And I know that, you are doing something. And let me tell you, I acknowledge it. I recognize it. And I went back, and that was a very crisp conversation. He just said this comments and Swami, when he wants to close the conversation, he'll just point downward and you touch feet and come back. But it hit me that here I am in a place where I'm always looking for friends, but the biggest friend is right here, understanding us, acknowledging us, and knowing our innermost feelings. I remember talking of this kind of a friendliness and the pride which Swami had in students, and I'll just quote one incident. So you all know Sunil Gavaskar, right? And his son Rohan Gavaskar. Rohan Gavaskar was a budding cricketer at that point of time. Sunil Gavaskar, big sportsman, very popular personality. He comes over and he's sitting on the portico, and then he comes with his son in one of the occasions. And Swami, I mean, we were a few of us who were doing our PhD were seated there, and I observed that when Swami had called the first set of people for interview, he had looked at Sunil Gavaskar and he had acknowledged that he was around. And somewhere I was feeling that I think there's going to be something interesting happening. And then Swami finished the interviews and he came out very hurried that day, because there sometimes when Swami would have thought of something and he comes out and he calls Gavaskar and he said, "Tumhare saath kaun aaya?" So Gavaskar says, "Swami, my son." Swami's like, "Haan, abhi kya kar raha hai?" So obviously Rohan Gavaskar was aspiring to be a cricketer, so Gavaskar starts saying some Ranji Trophy and all that stuff. Swami, "Nahi, padhai kya kiya?" So Gavaskar said, "Swami, BCom." I think he may not have cleared BCom or something, but he kind of hit BCom. Swami said, "BCom? And then he called all of us, and the four or five of us who were doing PhD. And then he started introducing, "Haan, tum bolo, what all did you study?" Then, "Tum bolo, what all did you study?" So all of us are like, "Hey, BCom, MBA, then PhD, and this and that." Then he asked some five people all their degrees. And then he said to Sunil Gavaskar, "See my boys, how much they are studying. You should ask him to study more about Rohan Gavaskar." And I was thinking, Swami, but he's aspiring to be a cricketer. And then Swami said, "My boys are good in sports also." So it was, the kind of pride and the kind of joy Swami is to have introducing all of us to dignitaries, which we definitely know that, hey, they are somebody in their careers, but this kind of a pride only a mother can have. And this kind of a feeling, right? It makes you feel that how Swami really considered his students as his children. I'll probably go a little deeper into this, the mother aspect, the caring aspect of Swami, because, among all the leelas of the God, I think the most touching, the one which leaves an indelible impact on your heart, which can never go, is his mother aspect. It can bring you to tears, and all brothers and sisters here, you would have experienced that, and I know you continue to experience it. But for me, there was one day, I had finished my master's program, my MBA program, and I had joined PhD, but at a given point of time, you have finished MBA, you have not started working, you have not started earning, you don't want to burden your parents too much. So I was also in that state. There was a concept of waiting boys, and we all can relate to this aspect. In fact, just in this audience, there is an individual who can relate a lot to this. So we used to plan our expenses that before we really get into a job or we start earning something worthy of a individual after so many degrees, we shouldn't be a burden on our parents. So we should plan that how can we stay a day with 10 rupees or 12 rupees. And believe me, the South Indian canteen really made it happen very easily for us, because you could have, you know, a full-fledged lunch or a dinner, and if you were smart, you could have like a terrific brunch or a mix of lunch, dinner and something, and you won't spend more than 10-15 rupees. So I was in that phase, so I decided that I'll skip breakfast and I will eat when Swami finishes the whole morning kind of sequence. I will rush and go to the South Indian canteen, and those last few moments before the breakfast closes, I will probably eat something which is like a brunch. And I felt that is a smart way for me to save some money before I really start getting stipend as a PhD scholar and become a little self-dependent and not a kind of a financial burden on my parents. So there was one morning like that, because everybody would, when Swami calls people for interview, everybody else would go for breakfast, but I would be sitting there on the portico. The interview, for some reason, got over very fast. It got over in 10 minutes or something, and Swami just came out unidirectionally, focusing towards me. And first I got a little scared, because I thought something was going to happen. Then he came to me and he said, "Hey, Assam boy, andar aao." So I went inside. It could be some work or, you know, what. And I was like, generally we'll get called in a group, but I was right in front of Swami. And he was looking very stern. And he said, "When you don't eat food, Swami feels bad." You know, it's only a mother who can feel your hunger and who can relate to you in this way. And he went in and he got, I don't even know, a bunch of notes, like some 500 rupees, so many notes. And he came in my hand and he said, "Don't go hungry." And it touches your heart and it means a lot, right? So so that was a feeling of the mother, which was very, very powerful. I cherish it till today, because I know he was the friend, the mother, and a lot more to all of us. He was also very, he would play so many pranks with us. I remember an incident when we were in Kodaikanal, and there is a staircase in Kodaikanal from the hall down which goes up to Swami's room. This was in 1998, and when Swami will go up the stairs, he would every day have some prank in his mind. So sometimes it will be, he'll go up the stairs, and he will go up and he'll sit down on the floor. And we all are like all over him like this. And he will just play a prank, because he will look up like this and he'll look at all our faces. So, you know, it used to be some funny thing. I remember things like where he will just come behind and you are, you know, combing your hair, and you see in the mirror Swami is right behind you, because he'll just come and surprise you with a visit in Kodaikanal. That love, that divine energy which touches you every moment, every day, was really unique.
You are listening to Radio Sai Thursday Live. Stay tuned.
Welcome back, dear listeners. We will now continue with the talk by Sri Vineet Basotia, an alumnus of the Sri Sathya Sai Institute of Higher Learning.
And he'll also challenge you. He will challenge your decisions. He will test you. He would test you in a way where you have to take a side. You know, many of us are dilly-dally on taking sides. We don't want to take a stance. We don't want to take a point of view. We don't want to take a posture, right? But I feel that one quality, and a practical quality, which I have really, really, I mean, forget the divine qualities, forget all the spiritual bliss and the big experiences, but a practical, practical quality, which I think I have imbibed with association, observation, learning from Bhagwan, is to take a point of view, to take a stance. And let me share a story here to prove this a bit more. So in 1999, Swami picked up five of us to do a PhD course in the college. And it was after a big gap. The college was not really running a lot of PhD courses. It's today a very big research focus, but not many PhD courses then. And you know, people who know that era and that time, if they heard the names of these five people, I mean, with all their love and kindness to us, they will say they're good guys, average students, but not the PhD kinds. I would say so. I think few of us have, right? But it was absolutely Swami saying that you have to join PhD. And he took us in a car, behind his car, to Puttaparthi to get us inculcated in the program. And you know, it was almost like there are these 5 students who are coming with Swami, and they're going to be joining PhD. And you know, the registrar and the vice chancellor and all the authorities in the college are like, who are these 5 students now? There are so many students who are very bright, but for some divine, you know, reason,
to speak, huh?
We got chosen. And the journey of those 5 years of PhD was amazing, but let me cut that short and let me come to the story which I wanted to share. We got started, our guides got decided, we got started into PhD. It took us like some time to even understand that what it meant to us, you know. It took us some time to even think PhD means what would happen, and then hey, we'll get a, you know, a doctor title. But we had not even thought through the nitty-gritties of the effort and what happens and what is a research thesis, what is a pre-PhD course. We were almost like toddlers learning to walk. Because there was an interview with Swami almost every other day, or you know, I mean, there was a series of so many interviews, our guides, they really made probably more effort than us. And I remember conversations with the Professor Radhaswami where he would say that if Swami is calling you all for some work, it's fine, I will start sketching out the pre-PhD kind of the abstract and all that thing. So you know, a great person, and he would really do that for us, you know. And but you know, by the time we kind of at some point of time we got into it, at one and a half year had passed by, and we got into the PhD kind of a brain, and we started reading, and we went to the Indian Institute of Management here in Bangalore. We read a lot of articles, we collected our literature, and we got our bags filled with the abstracts and the articles, and we started feeling like a scholar, for the lack of any other word. And between all this, one fine day in Vrindavan, we were, I think it was summer vacation, either Swami had not gone to Kodaikanal or there was a time before that, we got called into Thrai. The warden sent word for us, and we went into Thrai, and Swami said, get into the car, we are going to go and see the site for the hospital. So the Whitefield Hospital was supposed to be coming up then, and this wasn't the Whitefield of those days. It was empty kind of a road, and everyone would run and crowd around Swami's car, and we went to the Whitefield Hospital site. Everything else around there was empty, and Swami said, this is where my hospital is going to come up. And he was telling us there were a few people who were showing the site around, so it was great. So we felt like very proud, we are getting this great opportunity to be with Swami, and you know, part of his vision, there's a great hospital which is going to come up here. So we felt very nice and very proud. Then we came back, and I think we just came back before the evening darshan. Before Swami went into Thrai, he just told us, "Acha, you boys, you decide. Swami feels you should join the hospital. You should, work in the hospital." And here we are after all these days getting into the PhD mode, and then Swami said you should join the hospital. Then we all were like looking very confounded and confused, and you know, it's some instruction. But then Swami qualified his statement, because you know, when you say something, you have to back it up. So Swami said, listen boys, PhD kuch nahi hota hai. I have seen so many teachers, students don't change. You know, with PhD you will become a teacher, students will not teach. Hospital is true seva. You would work with patients, you will change lives. That is real seva. So that was a very, very powerful qualification of his request. And then he was very kind. He said, take few days, talk to your parents and tell Swami in 2 days, what is your decision? So just imagine our state of mind. Obviously, you know, we kind of emotionally supported each other. We talked between each other, but everyone got frantically calling their home. And I felt a little light because I had never taken that PhD so seriously as such. I thought this may be a great opportunity. I'll jump off the
PhD and, get working in the hospital, and it really felt very challenging. And as life goes and you see in retrospect, actually Swami fulfills all the dreams. But, I fainted. I remember calling home and trying to have this conversation. I don't even know, calls to Assam those days, what I got through. But I was very happy that, hey, next when Swami asks, I'm kind of clear that I'll let the PhD go. I'll start working in the hospital. And then the game started. So that morning darshan, he walked towards us. He asked everyone, did you decide? But he didn't wait for the answer. He just kind of told everyone that, hey, I'm waiting for your decision. And the test started. Then in the evening thrice session, there was, he wouldn't tell us directly, but he would tell Anil Kumar sir or some of the senior teachers that, what is there in doing PhD? PhD people study for 4 or 5 years, they write articles, then they become teachers. Now so many teachers have joined Swami. You know the students, same story. He kept saying that how important it is to, be a part of working for the hospital and the vision of healthcare and patient care and things like that. I won't take any names, but few of the group really had a tough time to come to this decision, because it's not an easy thing to get away with something you've started and put 1.5-2 years of your effort. But within 2 days, net, all of us had decided that we are going to do what Swami is going to say, right? And then it was evening session. I think it was the thrice session got over, and he was walking in the hallway, and he kind of called all of us, and he said, "What did you decide?" So all of us, we got close to him, and we like, "Swami will do what you will say. We will join the hospital." And then you should have seen the pride in Swami's face, and then the change, and then he suddenly paused and he said, "Swami will not let your efforts go waste. You are doing a PhD. You do PhD well. It's a good thing." And then we just realized that he was testing that how much are we ready to move our decisions and take a stand in the favor of our guru who has actually given us everything. I mean, while we would have gone through a lot of thoughts in those few days, I feel proud that, we could, I think none of us kind of conflicted at that point of time. But when Swami saw that, we are ready to let go of something he had given us, he felt happy. And, he had tested us like a teacher. And he felt proud that probably I am putting my investment in the right people, because they are ready to give up and come and change. So that was one incident I remember where he would really he would really test you as a teacher. There are some situations. And I'm relating a lot of my personal ones here, and I'll come back to some learnings which I've got from these incidents as well. But there are some situations which really never let go of you. It remains in your subconscious, your psyche, forever. And let me narrate one, probably a very powerful one, which I faced as a person. I just confirmed the year this morning calling one of my old batchmates and my PhD batchmate. So it was the year 2000, the same summer months in Vrindavan, and the same anticipation and excitement that will Swami go to Kodaikanal? When will he go to Kodaikanal? Who would go with Swami to Kodaikanal? And a lot of students aspiring and wanting to be with Swami, but a lot of positive feeling, but people didn't know whether Swami is going to Kodaikanal that year. There was information on both sides. We who were doing our PhD and were asked to be around Whitefield, so we had taken a couple of rooms in the Sai Gokulam, and we were around. The everyday evening story would be, there would be two stories. One story is always there in Vrindavan, that today there is a thrice session or not. The other story in that summertime was that, hey, when is Swami going to go to Kodaikanal? But I got very sick, in the sense that I got some chronic throat problem, I got fever, and it would not stop. So I remember staying in general hospital for a few days, and you know, I kept becoming, I think, worse and worse, in the sense that every night I would get high fever. People who have stayed the Sai hostel life, and all the brothers here, there is a huge amount of compassion and love which the teachers and the brothers show. I think I was a recipient of that, but my situation was getting like bad, and nobody could diagnose whether I have malaria or some tuberculosis or what. I had given a lot of blood tests, etc. So in general, it was a custom, and a lot of people guided me to write a letter to Swami, or one day come, if I have the energy, sit here in the mandir and get up and tell Swami my condition. But I don't know what was going on, but at that point of time in my life, I was feeling that there are enough people bothering Swami with their troubles. You know, poor Swami, he's going through so much. Everybody troubles him. You know, we all go through these phases. So sometimes we don't even recognize that our mother and our father are there for us, but we start showing our extra intellectual capacity, and you know, we start intellectual. So I was like, hey, you know, I don't want to trouble Swami. I'm fine. I don't want to. For some reason, I didn't want to tell. In fact, I missed coming to darshan a lot of times as well. And this went on, and then my situation wouldn't improve. And then one day evening, late evening, around 6 o'clock, suddenly we got called to Thrai, and there was no Thrai session. We got called to Thrai, I barely had energy, but a good friend of mine, Divya Jyoti Das, he kind of lifted me up and got me ready and got me along, because Swami had called the PhD boys. And we came here, and what we were told is that get ready tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. and Swami is going to go for a trip. There was a suspense about it, and imagine my situation. I didn't know whether it's how many days trip, but luckily by a little later in the evening, we got to know that he's just going for a day trip to Nagar Hole. Nagar Hole is a jungle resort ahead of Bandipur. He's taking the PhD boys, a lot of teachers from Parthi and Vrindavan, and he's going there. So I was like, I don't even think I can go for a 5-hour journey. But the, you know, all the colleagues and my brothers, they really encouraged me. And that evening, they gave me so many of those homely, like the grandmoms call it, the nuksas, you know, that you can have this ginger and you have this. And some teachers in the hostel gave me some milk with the haldi and all. And people started working on me so that I'm fit in the morning to get up and get into the vehicle and go for this trip with Bhagwan. So, you know, early morning I felt some energy. I started, I got up, I got going. It was a long 4.5 hour trip, and I think I chewed a lot of clove that day. I can still feel the taste. But I kept myself kind of, whatever I thought could help me from not kind of falling off, or, you know, feeling giddy and stuff. So we reached the resort. I'm calling it a resort. I think it was one of those jungle lodges kind of thing. And we are supposed to go for a tour to see elephants. But then the first was Swami went to his room. He was getting ready and lunch was served. I could not eat anything. So I was like just hiding in corners. And I felt my face look miserable. I don't know what kind of a weird pride was it that I would want to hide from Swami. I don't know if some of you may have probably faced the same, but very rarely people want to hide. But that day I just wanted to hide from Swami. I didn't want to be seen. I just wanted to be somewhere in some back corner, so in the counters, etc. I just kept dodging around, and I remember sitting off against the wall. And then when the lunch got over, there was a little bit of a hallway, and Swami came and sat on his chair. And then some conversation started. And then like a bombshell, I don't even remember if Swami would have made eye contact with me that day, or I don't even know if Swami knew where I was, but I heard, and I was hiding somewhere behind, I heard, where is Assam boy? So it was like I would get called sometimes, but not so often, and it wasn't expected that day, really in my heart, but like when he said, when is Assam boy, I like kind of all senses got alert and I got up. And I came up to Swami. So Swami said, come near me. So I went up to him. Then he created Vibhuti. He put my head on his lap and he fed me Vibhuti with his own hands. And then he was conversing something to the effect that he wants to hide with me. You know, Swami ko bolna nahi chahta ki bimar hai. Swami se chipta hai. Swami se hide karta hai, aisa kuch. And then he took his tumbler of water and made me drink that water. And a lot of vibhuti fell on my chest and the water as well. And it was a very emotional, very powerful moment. I can still feel it. But I remember Bhagya sir was there and he got up and he said, Swami, this boy at this time, you know, it is the biggest thing that, you know, he has got prasadam from you and water from you. And he said something. Now what registered in my mind is that probably he's saying that, Swami, this is it now. And I was thinking, okay, is it like, what's going to happen to me now? So it was a very strange feeling, but Swami kept saying, no, you know, he's hiding from me. And I still cherish that photograph somebody gave me much later. That care that I am with you, and you know, that power of his presence. Believe me, from that evening, I had a drastic change in the way I felt about my health. And I remember we going in an open jeep to see elephants, and I started like sweating out, and I started feeling so happy. And I just realized that you can't hide your problems from God. You know, the God is there from you, either in a physical direct form, or in an emotional connect, or in a spiritual connect. You cannot run away from God. You have to put all your problems first to Him, because He is there to be the sole, you know, the sole solution provider, the person who's just there. And that incident, gave me a strong lesson that the last thing, even if Swami has millions and millions of devotees in hundreds and hundreds of countries across the world, He loves me and I have to put my problems to Him, and there is a one-to-one connect. That became such a powerful reality after that incident. I have been going on sharing a lot of my personal experiences, my thoughts, and you know, the different facets with which Bhagwan interacts with all of us. But if I today, you know, and it's kind of strange that most of our learnings probably also happen in retrospect. You know, when we reflect back, we just realize that what a unique connection of dots, what a terrific coincidence it must have been for things to happen the way it happened. And, you know, it all falls in place. And, you know, while there's a lot more in all our lives to happen, I would put forward one thought that many a times we ask that, hey, Bhagawan said this, Sai Baba, what miracles? We go and read literature. I know that in this audience itself, there must be hundreds of people who would have read so many books of Swami trying to look for His big miracles and what He has done with lives of people. And, you know, even sometimes we always want to know that, hey, in His childhood, what did He create and all that. It's very exciting. It gives us a kind of impetus, a thought. But just like happiness is a unique feeling in each of our hearts, and we own our happiness, nobody else owns it, I think connect with Bhagwan is also a unique internal one-to-one connect which we have to own. And the biggest miracle of Swami are probably, and this is my thought, are probably not the institutions, not the individuals, not the incidents, not the array of things which He has done, but the biggest miracle of Bhagwan is the fact that with millions of people, he's able to have that unique one-to-one, heart-to-heart connection. And imagine how many permutations and combinations of those connections exist today. Just like the way we can't look external to us, and we can look, but we will not find really true happiness. All the scriptures and all the philosophers say this, and we know it. In the same way, I think we all have a very unique one-to-one connection with the Lord, which we have to find. And that is one kind of a, you know, very clear thinking, a clear feeling, which I have gathered from my association with Bhagwan. And I'll put one more thought forward as well. I think the second learning which in my humble way I'm trying to follow is we have to engage in seva, right? We, you know, seva is the counter comment towards being selfish and just being for yourself. So we all engage in seva. We have to engage in seva. I would say the fulfillment for everyone who is associated with Bhagwan is that if you can cull out or carve out one way in which your seva gets portrayed, or, you know, where you really focus on, it's a terrific sense of fulfillment. And, you know, many of us do it. There are students who engage in terrific seva. There are, you know, different programs. I was just talking this evening, and I think a lot of students nowadays, they take part as a contributor to the Vidya Vahini project. They give a year of their careers there. Me and a lot of my like-minded brothers and sisters, we run a program called Catalyst, which is to really train and support new students to join corporate. We feel a huge sense of fulfillment in that. And I know that's a small drop in the oceans of multitudes of seva activities which go on. But we feel a huge sense of fulfillment, and we want to drive it more and more, and we feel that every year we can do that one bit for Bhagwan. Beyond this, two thoughts, right? Hey, what is the big miracle, the one-to-one connect and the seva aspect? I don't know if there's anything more complicated, because life is simple. We all live our lives. We all have a lot to do, and everybody has a unique journey. I have kept, these two simple aspects to core to my learning of being with Bhagwan. Just feel connected to Him, and I'll just share a very funny incident, and it, I think kind of a little bit shows that I have to do a lot more. I feel that because of that one-to-one connect, Bhagwan guides me every point of time. Just this morning, I got a dream. And, you know, last few days, this thing has been playing in my mind that I'll be speaking in this session. This morning, I got a dream. And in the dream, what I saw is that I'm getting ready to come to speak here. And I have put my tie and my coat and everything. And Swami comes and says, this is not a corporate training. You run and go and change. And I run and go to this stores. Ruchesar's store, because I have served here, and I started looking for white kurta and pajama. And the learning for me was that when you are doing something for Bhagwan, you can't get carried away in your other day-to-day things. You know, maybe there was a subconscious thing that I may end up speaking with the way we speak in our offices or something. And Swami's message in the dream, I feel it was a very quick thing, but was that, hey, when you are going to speak in Vrindavan, I will speak through you. You go in your white clothes, well shaven and well combed, you know. So it's just, you know, these kind of incidents. The pride father of two naughty twin boys, and, you know, if I look at my family journey also, in some way or other, there is an indication, powerful indication which touches you, which comes at every important juncture of your life. There are you know, there are sometimes very bold, big things which happen, but let us not miss those small things which touches us very subtly but very lovingly and tells us about Bhagwan and his play and his part in our lives. You know, every bird will fly out of its nest, but the home remains the nest, right? They come back. In the same way, you know, we may go into different tasks, into different sevas, into different jobs and our families, and we may take different paths, but the rooting, the grounding, the genesis, the foundation is all right here. It is all right here. And when I speak about this, I remember that whenever I have a confounding situation, either in my corporate life or my personal life, I pack myself up in my car and I rush to Puttaparthi. Because that is it. That is the grounding, right? If I sit in front of the Samadhi, the Swami in me and my unique one-to-one connection gives me the answers. I know there are great scriptures and there are terrific books and having different means to reach out to Bhagwan, but what is the golden touch is right, you know, implanted inside us, the one-to-one connect. And every situation, which I would say is a tough situation today, I think the answers come from Bhagwan directly and very uniquely. Those were some reflections and some experiences of my, you know, journey with Bhagwan. I am pretty much on the clock time. So I will end here. I did not prepare a written speech, so I don't have a poem or a song or anything to end with. I just want to tell this audience that it, you know, with this huge sense of gratitude that you're listening to me, I feel it's like I'm speaking to myself about the journey of my life and the learnings, and I just pray that Bhagwan, you keep continuing your leelas and keep guiding us and touching us and be a part of our life forever and ever. And I know that there will be lot more to share and learn together. So for brothers who have given me this great opportunities to come and speak, thanks a lot. I think it is a time in my life, probably this is going to mean a lot because it's a huge personal reflection as well. And thanks to all brothers and sisters and all gathered here for your patient listening. Sai Ram.
Sai Nata. सखा तुम स्वामी प्राण सखा तुम स्वामी सुनो प्रभु साई नाथ
सुनो प्रभु साई नाथ
दर्शन दो अब स्वामी अरज सुनो प्रभु साई नाथा
अरज सुनो प्रभु साई नाथा
द्वार खड़ा तुम स्वामी
प्राण सखा तुम स्वामी
अरज सुनो प्रभु साई नाथ ज्ञान दो
माँ सरस्वती ज्ञान दो
ज्ञान दो
सरस्वती ज्ञान दो
प्रेमदायिनी शांतिदायिनी
प्रेमदायिनी
शांतिदायिनी
प्रदायिनी
ज्ञान दो ज्ञान दो
कुमारा वानर वीरा वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा अति बलवंता हनुमंता अति बलवंता हनुमंता केसरी नंदन अंजनि पुत्रा केसरी नंदन अंजनि पुत्रा जय हो पवन कुमारा जय हो पवन कुमारा जय हो पवन कुमारा जय हो पवन कुमारा वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा अति बलवंता हनुमंता केसरी नंदन अंजनी पुत्रा जय हो पवन कुमारा 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 वायु कुमारा वानर वीरा
My life is my message and
Bhagavan says my life is my message.